Is Seattle entering a new space age? This week, NASA awarded six private companies $44 million to develop technology that will help commercialize spaceflight. Among the awardees were Jeff Bezos' space company, Blue Origin, and the United Launch Alliance, a joint venture between Boeing and Lockheed Martin. Washington State is known for aviation, has been for a long time. Where do we fit in the private space race? Joining us to talk about Seattle's role is Tim Fernholz. He covers space and the economy and geopolitics for Quartz. He has a new book, Rocket Billionaires, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and the New Space Race. And he joins us from KQED in San Francisco. Welcome, Tim.
Hey, Bill. Good to see you.
Blue Origin is here in the Seattle area. Remind us what they do.
Blue Origin is the space company that Jeff Bezos founded, and they are doing three big things. They're building a rocket that will take people to the edge of space as space tourists, and they also do research in it. They're building a much larger rocket to fly satellites into space, and they're building a powerful new rocket engine for ULA, United Launch Alliance, that Boeing-Lockheed joint venture you just mentioned.
Blue Origin was awarded this contract to develop a moon landing system. Are we going back to the moon?
We sure are, or at least that's what the Trump administration would like to do. They've set policy for NASA to head back to our moon. We have learned a lot more about it since we went during the Apollo program in the 1970s. And now the idea is to go back and keep learning, but to do it a lot more cheaply by using private investment as well. And so we have Blue Origin, which is dedicated. It's on a mission to get millions of people living and working in space. That's the vision 100 years from now. In the meantime, they're working to make it very cheap to go to space and to do stuff on the moon. And these new contracts that you mentioned are all moon-focused. They're to develop a propulsive lander that can take robots down to the moon's surface and a special system of radar to make sure they land in precisely the right spot.
When is a lander going to land on the moon? When will people land on the moon again?
Great question. Everybody wants to know the answer. I would say not for years. Probably not until the early 2020s, mid-2020s. The good news is we're going to see some robot missions taking off maybe next year, but space is very hard to schedule. But what's exciting now is the government is sort of settled on a strategy. And now the space industry in the U.S., including a lot of the companies here in Seattle, are sort of forming up behind it. And it's the first time we've had a sort of coherent plan to go do something on the moon in quite a while.
How big a deal is the space industry in Seattle?
It's a big deal. Blue Origin is going to be one of the main up-and-coming companies. Bezos is putting $1 billion of that into that company every year. Obviously, you have Boeing here. SpaceX, Elon Musk's space company, has a special facility here in Seattle that's focused on making a satellite network to transmit internet down to Earth. It's going to be a growth industry there.
Should we believe Elon Musk is going to be any better at space than he's been with Tesla?
Yes, I can say with some authority because you can look at the results. SpaceX, you know, it gets a lot of flack for its more extravagant pronouncements, but they are the workhorse right now. They fly more commercial rocket missions every year than any other company, including United Launch Alliance. They are the primary rocket that's carrying supplies up to the International Space Station for NASA, and they are scheduled right now, it's still very much a race, to beat Boeing in flying humans, human astronauts for NASA, into space from the United States for the first time since 2011.
NASA has used private companies, contractors before. What's different about the private aspect of space exploration today?
What's different is that they're letting the companies have more freedom to solve problems for themselves. They're basically treating it, to borrow a term from software, as space as a service. Instead of designing a rocket and hiring a big company to build it, NASA says, we want to carry X amount of things to this place in space, come up with a proposal, and we'll take the lowest bid we think is most effective. And that has been unlocking. It's been making it cheaper for NASA to do more routine things in low Earth orbit so it can turn its sights to exploration in deep space, the moon, Mars, and beyond.
Well, are billionaires doing anything different from what politicians or taxpayers want?
They're not doing anything different from what politicians or taxpayers want, but because they don't necessarily have as much oversight from Congress and because they can focus on space exploration as space exploration and not as a jobs program, which I think some lawmakers do treat it as, they're able to move more efficiently, to take more risk, and to act more decisively than the government. In one sense, what's happening now is these private companies are doing what NASA did in the 60s and 70s and 80s, but doing it an order of magnitude more cheaply. And that's what they hope is going to enable them to actually do business in space and make a lot of money, something that no one has been able to do there so far.
I'm trying to figure out whether, for example, Jeff Bezos is just doing something more cheaply and more nimbly that the government was going to do anyway, or is Jeff Bezos, with his private, his personality, his interest, is he pushing something that wouldn't happen if it weren't for Jeff Bezos?
I think it's something of both, really. Jeff Bezos and Musk as well have a very expansive vision about humanity's future in space. But to get there, they need to accomplish some technological objectives along the way. And working with NASA, getting access to the world-class researchers' minds, decades of experimental data, and getting access to public money through NASA allows them to work together and accomplish the first milestones on the steps to their more elaborate visions. Right now, it's very synergistic. The government is winning from getting cheaper services from these private companies. The private companies are learning how to do stuff in space. You can imagine tensions coming in down the road, but for now, it's beneficial to both sides, I think, is fair to say.
Here's a little of Jeff Bezos talking about his company, Blue Origin.
So over many decades, I believe, and I get increasing conviction with this with every passing year, that Blue Origin, the space company, is the most important work I'm doing.
The most important work. And my guest here is Tim Fernholz, who wrote a book about billionaires funding space travel. Why do they think this is the most important work that they could do?
There's a lot of reasons, starting with science fiction, but I think most broadly they see a world where you need a frontier, and the next frontier for humanity, they would argue, is space. There are cases to be made that by moving heavy industry off of the Earth, we're going to pollute it less and preserve it longer for our species. Obviously, not all environmentalists agree with that. And then there are cases to be made that we need resources, energy in space, minerals in space, and that expanding into our solar system is the human destiny. A lot of people, I think Elon Musk would argue this, and so did Robert Goddard, the inventor of the liquid rocket engine in the 1920s, is that in order to ensure humanity's survival, we can't be dependent on just one planet. That tends to sound a little wild to people today, but these guys are thinking on timescales of tens of hundreds of years and doing the first steps to make those really elaborate visions a reality. The thing to keep in mind about both of them is that they've been told for most of their careers that what they're doing is crazy and not going to succeed and not going to make them a lot of money. And now they're inured to that a little bit. And so these space companies are their next big goals to try and do something to change the world.
Tim, do you think that billionaire space exploration and the coming of space tourism is going to change the rest of us, change our outlook on what's important and what we can be and do?
So, yes, I do think so. I think one thing to keep in mind that I don't think people realize is that we are so dependent on space right now. Every time you use an ATM, do a stock transaction, that is timed by the GPS system. Space is a part of our lives and our computer networks. We just don't notice it. But one thing you talk about when you talk to an astronaut or anyone who's been to space, is that perspective of the Earth from orbit is really life-changing. And I haven't been up there yet, so I can't say for sure, but there are a lot of people in this industry who have been to space who see these space tourism gambits, like what Blue Origin is doing with the New Shepard, or what Richard Branson is doing with his company Virgin Galactic, that going up to the edge of space and seeing the Earth from that perspective is a life-changing thing. And I guess we're going to have to wait and see. Tickets are going to have to get a lot cheaper than currently forecast for me to check that out. But it promises to change your view of the world.
Well, maybe Tim Fernholz will get an invitation. He covers space and the economy and geopolitics for Quartz. He's written the book Rocket Billionaires, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and the New Space Race. And he's been talking with us from KQED in San Francisco. It's been a pleasure, Tim. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.